Okay, let's get started. So the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara earlier in the week, has the sugya of Matana Amanas Lahachzir. So we're just going to jump to the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rava, that Rava says if you give someone an esrog as a matana amanas lahachzir, a present on condition that he returns it to you, so you're yotze. Even though when it comes to dalad minim, we know the halacha is that it needs to be shalachem. You need to own your esrog, you need to own your dalad minim. And you would think maybe if the gift is on condition that it's returned, maybe it's not considered lachem. Says Rava, no, a matana amanas lahachzir is considered lachem. And the Gemara goes on to say, and that's true when it comes to all areas of halacha, almost all areas of halacha, that when you give a matana amanas lahachzir, it's considered full ownership. And whenever you need to own the object in halacha, a matana amanas lahachzir, a gift on condition that it be returned to the original owner, is sufficient. The Gemara says, except for Kiddushin, right? The Gemara here on Daf Vav and Beis, the last line, the Gemara says, Elam Ravashi Bekulukani, Matana Amanas Lahachzir works for everything. Levar Miisha, except for Kiddushin. If you give a woman a ring on condition that she return it to you, it's not good for Kiddushin. Lafisha Ein Isha Niknes Bechalipin, because an Isha is not Niknes Bechalipin. So we're not going to focus exactly on what that Gemara means, because what is Chalipin have to do with Matan Amas Lachzir? We know Chalipin is that it's an exchange. And the Gemara said earlier on Daf Gimel that Chalipin, Kinyan Sudar does not work for Kiddushin. So what exactly is the relationship between Kinyan Chalipin and Matan Amas Lachzir? Does the Gemara mean that Matan Amas Lachzir on some level is like Kinyan Chalipin, and just like Chalipin doesn't work on a Doraisa level, so too Matana Amanas Lachzir doesn't work on a Doraisa level? Or maybe it's only rabbinic, that's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. We're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the concept of matana amanas lahachzir, a gift given on condition that it be returned. So now the Ritva over here has a very, very important comment. The Ritva is Chidushim over here in Maseches Kiddushin, and that Vav and Beis quoted here in Source 2. The Ritva points out that l'chora there are two ways one can understand the concept of matana amanas lahachzir. When I give my esrog to Avi, and I say, Avi, this is your esrog, on condition that you return it to me. Am I giving it over completely to Avi? It's a matana kimura. He becomes the complete owner. It's just that there's a condition that if he wants to fulfill his mitzvah of esrog, he has to return it to me. He is the complete owner in the interim. It's completely his. There's a tanai, there's a condition that he needs to fulfill, and that is to return the object to me when he's done. But it's a hakna'a gemura. It's a matana gemura. It's a kinyan la'olam. It's a complete matana. Is that the way to understand a matana amanas lahachzir? Or no? Maybe it's a little fancier. Maybe matana amanas lahachzir is what we call a kinyan lezman. A kinyan lezman. Meaning, I give the esrog to Avi, and I say that use it for your mitzvah of dalad minim, and whenever you're done, it's going to come back to me. It's not that Avi necessarily has to give it back to me. Automatically, it comes back to me. Because matana amanas lahachzir is not necessarily a hakna gemura, a kinyan la'olam. Rather, it's a kinyan lizman. I'm giving it temporarily to Avi, and whenever he's done using it, automatically it comes back to me. It's not that he has to be makne it back to me. He doesn't have to give it back to me. Automatically it returns to my ownership. Those are the two ways to understand matana amanas lahachzir. Again, is it a kinyan gemura, a kinyan la'olam? I'm giving it over to Avi. He is the complete owner. And there's a condition that he needs to fulfill, and that is to return it back to me. But he needs to actually be makne it back to me because he became the complete owner. Or do we say, no, it's a kinyan lezman, and I'm giving it over to him temporarily. It's a temporary kinyan. And then, once he's done using it, memela, automatically it comes back to me. He doesn't have to do a formal kinyan back to me. Those are the two ways to understand matana amanas lahachzir. So take a look at the Ritva in Source 2. Says the Ritva, miu, matana amanas lahachzir hakna'a gemurihi. Says the Ritva, like the first way to understand it, that matana amanas lahachzir is a complete kinyan. You give over ownership completely to the one who is receiving the matana. Umamon shelohu, it is completely his. Ukish machzira lo hakna gimura bari. And when the one who is mekabel the matana receives it, in order to give it back, he needs to do a full-fledged kinyan. It's not automatic. The one who is mekabel the matana has to give it back completely to the original owner. Kishar hakno is the amma, like any other kinyan. Like any other kinyan. That's the opinion of the Ritva. And the Rush, Masechta Sukkah, doubles down on that. The Rush agrees with the Ritva, and he thinks that a matana almanas lahachzir is a kinyan gamor, is a kinyan gamor. And he has a raya from a Gemara Masechta Sukkah, a well-known Gemara. I think we actually discussed it at one point last year. The Gemara says that on Yom Tov, a person should not give over his dalet minim to a child. Let's take a look at source 4. The Gemara says, in Sukkah daf mem vav amud beis, Amar Abzeira, lalikni inish hoshana liyanuka biyomatava kama. A person should not give over his dalet minim to a child on the first day of Yom Tov. Again, the first day of Yom Tov, what's significant about the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkos? It's the rice and you need lachem, exactly. That you need lachem, and then the rest of Yom Tov, you don't need lachem, you don't need to... I'm sorry? Is the Shabbos this year? Oh, wow. So, unfortunate, or fortunate, but... So says the Gemara, my timer, why should you not give over your dalet minim to a child on the first day of Yom Tov? Dianuka mikna kani aknui lomaki makni. A child can acquire, but he won't be able to give it back to you. V'ishtachach de kanafik belulav sheinu shelo. If you have yet to be yotze your mitzvah of dalet minim, so that you're never going to be able to get it back from the child because he can't be makne it back to you. He can't give it back to you. I'm sorry? You would never get it back, but it doesn't matter except for the first day. It doesn't exactly. So it doesn't matter except for the first day. So the first day where it needs to be lachem, you should not give the child the lulav until you're actually yotze. So asks the Rush, wait a second. I have an eitzah. I can outsmart the Gemara. Why don't you give it to the child as a matana almanas lahachzir? Right? You give it to the child temporarily, and then automatically it's going to come back to you. The child doesn't necessarily have to be makne it back to you. Give it to the child and I say, I want you to have this until you're yotze the mitzvah, and then give it back to me. In other words, it will automatically come back to me. Why doesn't the Gemara suggest that on the first day of Yom Tov, you can give a child the dalet minim as a matana almanas lahachzir? And says the Rush, you see from this Gemara that what? That's not the way matana lahachzir works. It's not a kinyan lizman. It doesn't automatically come back to you. Rather, the one who is mekabel the matana has to formally, halachically, give it back to you, has to do a hakna gemura, and since a child will not be able to halachically give it to you back, therefore, the Gemara never suggests matana amanas lahachzir as an eitzah. Says the Rashi, you see from that Gemara in Sukkah, and Dafim Vavim Reis, to a raya to this idea that matana almanas lahachzir is not a kinyan lizman, it's not a temporary kinyan, it's a kinyan gemura, it's a hakna gemura, it's a full-fledged acquisition with the condition that you have to return it. That is the raya of the Rush. Sounds good? Clear?
So you never ended up returning it, you weren't yotze.
Exactly, because you haven't fulfilled the condition. But Kol's mind that you own it, and once you fulfill the condition, you are the complete owner, and you have to do a formal hakna back to the original owner.
In the Rush's version of the world, even if you did the mitzvah first and then gave it to the child, it would still be a problem because you're not accomplishing anything, because it's not really lechem for the child because he can't give it back. So he's never fulfilling the condition.
The child.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Because so you're never accomplishing anything ever.
That is true.
There's
also.
There's no havamina that you could do matana on this.
That's true also. Yes, for sure. For sure. For sure. Okay. Now, is there anyone who just...
Some limitations, right? Because I couldn't be morish it to somebody.
Well, you could, but then the one who is the one who was yorish would have to return it to fulfill the tanai. The tanai of almanas lahachzir. Yeah, we're not going to get into it. But Tosis discusses the interesting Gemara. The Gemara says a story. The Gemara in Masechta Sukkah tells a story of some of the Tanaim were on a boat, and they had one esrog, right? They had one esrog. Well, I forget which Rabbi Yeshua, one of the Tanaim, Rabbi Gamliel, he spent a lot of money on an esrog, and he was the only one on the boat. You had Rabbi Gamliel, you had Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Kiva, all the great Tanaim. There was only one Esrog. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel gave it as a matana al manasleh to Rabbi Yeshua, and they all gave it to each other. They all gave it to each other, and then eventually it came back to Rabbi Gamliel. So Tosis is bothered by the Kasha. It was a matan almost nahachzir. How was Rabbi Yeshua allowed to give it to Rabbi Kiva? He accepted upon himself that he was going to return it to Rabbi Gamliel. What right did he have to give it to someone else? So Tosis says it was implied that Rabbi Gamliel understood that you can give it to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to give it to whomever he wants, and then eventually it will come back to him. That's a fulfillment of the Tanai. So too in your case, presumably, that if you give a person a matan almost nahachzir and they pass away, and their inheritor is Yoreshit, as long as they give it back subsequently, that's also a fulfillment of the Tanai, fulfillment of the condition. But you could be Morishit. You're the complete owner, just there's a condition that it needs to be returned. Either you or your Yorish or whomever you give it to has to fulfill the Tanai of Almanas Lahachzir. That's an excellent question. So if we have time, hopefully we'll get to that at the end. What exactly is included in the Tanai of Almanas Lahachzir? We'll get back to that.
Something, a shear that Avi Reisman thought of eventually getting in Pesach is, as the owner, let's say, something that you own, that you've got insurance on. So if you give it to someone, Almanas Lahachzir, if he's the real owner, your insurance policy on that object wouldn't necessarily apply because it's not yours. Mm-hmm. Versus someone else who's considered the owner. That.
Therefore what? What's the question?
Whether or not you're the owner. So like, if something happens to your company, it's over, well, if you're selling, like, you're something right. to yours to someone over Pesach,
right.
you're not the real owner of it.
Right.
But if it's your it's on your property and you have a policy on it, uh-huh. and it gets destroyed, is it right to have that policy?
If it gets destroyed, you never got it back.
Right.
So then it was always yours.
If you never got it back,
then it was always yours. Yeah.
That's less of a discussion about Matana Mazdachzir. That's more of a discussion of Achrayis,
right.
of yeah, in terms of if you the insurance, in terms of whether that constitutes ownership on any level. That's less Matana Mazdachzir, more Achrayis. You know, maybe we'll discuss that a different time. But that's an excellent, very interesting discussion. Either way, is there anyone who disagrees with the Ritva and the Rush? Meaning we have two great Rishonim, the Ritva and the Rush, who assume that Matana Almanas Lahachzir is a Hakna Gemura. It's a complete, full-fledged Kenyan with a condition that needs to be met that you return the object. So is there anyone who disagrees? What do you guys think?
You already
I just said there are two ways to understand it. I didn't say that anyone actually holds the second way. So believe it or not, there is someone who disagrees. The Rush in Source 5 quotes from Rabbeinu Yeshaya. Who is Rabbeinu Yeshaya? Rabbeinu Yeshaya was also known as the Tosis Rid. Rabbi Yeshaya de Trani, from Trani in Italy. He was a 12th century Tosafist in Italy. One of those interesting
Turin.
Italian Bali Tosafists. What?
From Turin?
Trani in Hebrew. Is that what it's called? Turin? Yeah?
I think so.
Okay, so Turin. Or from Trani. The Trani, Rabbi Yeshaya the Trani, also known as the Tosis Rid. So the Rush quotes in a very interesting question that Tosis Rid asks. He asks that we know from the Gemara that we just read, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, the Gemara Maseches Sukkah quotes Rava that a Matana Amanas Lahachzir is good for Esrog. Right? It's good for Dalet Minim. It works. It's considered Lachem. He asks, asks the Rabbi Yeshaya, why is a Matana Amanas Lahachzir any different than She'ela? Shu'ula, lending something. We know from the Gemara Maseches Sukkah that a lulav that's sha'ul, that's borrowed, an esrog that's sha'ul, is not good for the first day of Yom Tov. It's not considered shalachem. If you use a borrowed dalet minim, it's not considered shalachem. So asks Rabbeinu Yeshaya, what is the difference between matana almanas lahachzir and she'ela? Aren't they the same thing? Aren't they temporary ownership that you're only using it for the purpose of the mitzvah, and then eventually you're going to return it? Why is matana almanas lahachzir good and she'ela no good? That's the question that he asks. And he gives some teretz. He says that when it comes to she'ela, since you're chayiv and onsen, if some damage, something happens to the object, you're responsible to pay back the original owner. So that indicates that you're not as much of an owner. It's not as much shalachem. As opposed to matan mazda hachzir, if something happens to it, no. The condition is if it's still around, if it's still be'en, you have to return it. But if something happens and you're not responsible to pay back the original owner, so therefore matana amanas lahachzir is little more shalachem. But what do you see from Rabbeinu Yeshaya? He thinks fundamentally matana amanas lahachzir is a form of she'ela, or it's similar to she'ela, meaning it's not a full-fledged ownership. It's a temporary ownership there. You're using it for a temporary period of time, and then it's going to go back to the original owner. So at first glance, it seems like Rabbeinu Yeshaya is of the opinion that matana amanas lahachzir is not a hakna gemur, because if he felt that it was a hakna gemur with a full-fledged kinyan, then there's no comparison to she'ela. She'ela is you're not the owner, you're borrowing the object, and ultimately it still belongs to the original owner. If Rabbeinu Yeshaya felt like the Rush and the Ritva, that Matana Amnas Lahachzir is a Kinyan Gomer, a Hakna Gemura, the one who's in the Kabbalah is the full-fledged owner, then there's no Sheikhas, there's no comparison to She'ela. Elamai, you see from Rabbeinu Yeshaya, L'chora, at first glance, that he holds that Matana Al-Znahachzir is not a Hakna Gemura, rather it's some type of temporary Kinyan. And not only Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the Ketzois held this way. The Ketzois, living centuries later in the 1700s, early 1800s, the Ketzois, in Simen Resh Mem Aleph, assumes like this opinion, that Matana Amnas Lahachzir is not a Hakna Gemur, it's not a Kinyan Olam, rather it's a Kinyan Lazman. Again, it's a temporary Kinyan. You're giving it to the person, Amnas, that he returns it, but it's really automatic. The person does not have to return it. It's really a temporary Kinyan. And nevertheless, says the Ketzois, even though it's a temporary kinyan, it's sufficient for these areas of halacha, including Dalid Minim. Now, the question is, what do you do with the Rush's Raya? Right? The Rush had a good Raya. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah said that you're not supposed to give your Dalid Minim to a child on the first day of Yom Tov. Why? Because the child may be able to acquire it, but he's not going to be able to give it back to you. And ask the Rush, why doesn't the Gemara suggest Matana Amanas Lahachzir? And says the Rush, you see from that Gemara that Matana Amanas Lahachzir doesn't automatically come back to the original owner. It's not a temporary Kinyan. It's a full-fledged Kinyan with a condition that needs to be met, that the Mekabel gives it back to the Nosin. You need a Hakna, and since a child can't do the Hakna, that's why the Gemara never suggests Matana Amanas Lahachzir. But if you assume that a Matana Amanas Lahachzir is a Kinyan Lazman, it's a temporary Kinyan, so why doesn't the Gemara suggest that in Masechet Sukkah, on Daf Mem Vav, to give it to a child temporarily, and then automatically it's going to come back to the owner?
That would work by a Kohen. I mean, the assumption is that would work by a Kohen.
Why not? If it's automatic, if he doesn't need to do a Hakna, if the Matana expires, it's like a She'ela. I give it to you for a set period of time, it expires, it automatically comes back to me.
And so he does, so the Kohen doesn't have to do anything to be marketed back to.
It's a Kinyan Lazman. I'm giving it to you for 30 days, it comes back to me. Anytime. Let's say I want to lend you something. I want to give you this pen for 30 days. And after 30 days, it's going to belong to me. That's a Kinyan Lazman. Right. Automatically, it comes back to me. That's not Amanas Lahachzir. So what's the... the Ketzos thinks that that's the same thing as Amanas Lahachzir. It should automatically come back. So why does the Gemara suggest that? Any thoughts? Interesting. But the point is, the Gemara says explicitly that Matana Amas Lahachzir is sufficient for Dalad Minim. Even though the Ketzois understands that Matana Amas Lahachzir is a temporary Kinyan, nevertheless, the Gemara says explicitly, that's Rava's statement, that Rava says, if you give an Esrog as a Matana Amas Lahachzir, it works. So why doesn't the Gemara suggest that for the child? You give it to the child, and then he doesn't have to give it back to you. It automatically comes back to you.
Do you need the das of the Kohen? Meaning, do you need the das of the child to even create this
To whatever extent he is kone, it should be able to come back because you don't need his das to be makne back. So, however much he's kone, there's a machlokas we've shown whether he's kone on a daraisa level, derabana level. We're not going to get into that right now. But however much he's kone, it doesn't really matter because you're giving it to him and automatically it's going to come back. So, all you would need theoretically is the das makne, and you don't need that here because it automatically comes back to the original owner.
Condition works on the condition. Meaning that the kinyan works.
The kinyan works on the condition. The kinyan works that work. The kinyan works the hand. You want to require two, one does it. There's no deeper required for a kinyan. The hand that I just pick it up, it's yours.
Uh-huh.
This arrangement you made on the side deal, he has to have dots for that.
Uh-huh. Okay, interesting. I'm not sure. I think that the assumption of the question is that regardless of the das of the katan, it should work because you're just giving it to him temporarily. So I'll tell you what, the Ktzoy says, Eina Chanami. He says it would work. It would work. The Gemara was talking about a case where you didn't give him al tamnas lachzir. Not so exciting. Not so exciting. The Gemara says, Stam. The Gemara says you shouldn't give a Stam Matana to a child on the first day of Yom Tiv because he's not going to be able to give it back. But if you would outsmart the Gemara, and you learn Maseches Kiddushin Tavav, and you know about Matan Mas La'achzer, in a Chanami, that would be a good Eitzah to give to a child. So Halach L'maisa, this is very, very relevant. This is very, very relevant. You know, often, you know, if you're running late to shul, you're going to the 9:45, 10:30 minion, you're at home, you're schlepping at home, and your children are up with you, and they say, Abba, Daddy, I want to shake lulav before you go to shul on the first day of Shachris. Are you allowed to give your child the Dalad Minim? So the answer is no. But can you do a Matana Mas La'achzir? So that should depend on this machlokas between the Rush and the Ktzois. Very, very important. Halacha le'maisa. Okay, fine. So that is how the Ktzois deals with the Rush's Raya. Now the Ktzois brings a Raya to his Shita, to his understanding about Matana Amnas La'achzir. He brings it from a very important, difficult Gemara tucked away at the end of Maseches Bava Basra. So the Daf Yomi is not going to be there for a while, right? We got Bava Kama, which is long, Bava Masiyah, which is long, and Bava Basra is even longer. So it's at the end of Bava Basra and Perek Yesh Nochlin. The Gemara has the sugya of Acharecha. Acharecha is if I give Avi a gift and I say it should go to Avi, and after Avi, it's going to go to El. It sounds like Matana Amas La'achzir, but it's I'm giving it to someone, and I say that after you, it's going to go to the other person automatically. You don't have to give it to them. It's going to be automatic. I can make that condition that I give a person a gift, plony a gift, and acharecha, after you, it's going to go to someone else. That's a major machlokes tanoim in the Gemara in Bava Basra about acharecha. How do we understand the level of ownership that the first person has, even though it's only going to be as temporarily because I'm giving it to Avi and then almost immediately it's going to go to Alan. After it's going to go to Alan, so it's temporarily obvious. So how much ownership does Avi have? And then it stays with Alan. So, but how much ownership does Avi have? Is Avi able to sell it? It's machlokes tanoim in Maseches Bava Basra. But yet the Gemara says that everyone agrees that with respect to Dalet Minim, if I give Avi the Esrog, and I say, Avi, here's the Esrog, and it's going to go to Alan after you, everyone agrees that Avi can use the Dalet Minim, the Esrog, to be Yotze his mitzvah, and it's considered Shalachem. So says the Ktzois, whoa, wait a second here. When it comes to Acharecha, would you call that a Hakna Gemura, or is that a Kinyan Lizman? That's Kinyan Lizman. Why? Because when it comes to Acharecha, Avi does not have to give it over to Alan. It automatically goes to Alan. So if that's the case, Avi was only a temporary owner. It was only a Kinyan Lizman. And you see from the sugya of Acharecha that a Kinyan Lizman, a temporary Kinyan, is sufficient when it comes to Dalet Minim. So says the Ktzos, just like when it comes to Acharecha, the Gemara in Bava Basra, you see that a temporary kinyan is sufficient to be considered ownership with respect to Dalad Minim, so too Matana Almanas Lahachzir. Even if you are to understand that it's only a temporary kinyan is considered sufficient ownership to be yotze your mitzvah of Dalad Minim is considered Shalachem. So the Rosh says, you see from this Gemara, even though that Gemara is talking about Acharecha, and I'm talking about Matana Almas Lahachzir, you see that a temporary kinyan is sufficient. So maybe Matana Almas Lahachzir is also a temporary kinyan. It automatically comes back to the original owner. And therefore, even though Avi was only the temporary owner, nevertheless, it's good for Dalad Minim. It says, look, so it's a Beferish Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin in source 7. Yeah.
That wasn't the issue that the Rosh was dealing with. It wasn't dealing with whether or not it was a Matana Gemura or not. He was just dealing with the fact that you couldn't get it back.
So no. So the Rosh, I didn't read the whole thing, but the Rosh actually, well, that was one of his rias from the Gemara in Daf Mem Vav. But the Rosh actually thinks that if you assume that Matana Amnas Lahachzir is a Kinyan Lizman, then it's comparable to She'ela. He thinks that a kinyan lizman, a temporary kinyan, is comparable to she'ela.
And then there's a deficiency.
And there's a deficiency in the ownership, and therefore it would not be good for shalachem. And his proof to bolster his shita is the Gemara about the child. So you see that it's not a temporary kinyan. But he had a svara. It wasn't just a proof from the Gemara. It was a svara that if you assume that matana almas lahachzir is a temporary kinyan, then it's comparable to she'ela. And just like she'ela is not good, then matana almas lahachzir shouldn't have been good either. Elamai says the Rosh, it must be that matana almas lahachzir is a hakna gemur, it's a full-fledged kinyan. And he proves it, he bolsters his opinion from the Gemara in Sukkah about hahu yanuka on Memvav Amid Beis. The Ktzai says, you see from the Gemara in Bava Basra that a temporary kinyan is good. It works for Dalad Minim. Acharecha is a temporary kinyan, and it's clear from the Gemara that it's sufficient bilus in order to be yotze Dalad Minim. So too, even if you were to understand Matana Amanas Lahachzir as a temporary kinyan, a kinyan lizman, nevertheless, it would be sufficient in the realm of Dalad Minim. And again, right, the Ksois dealt with the Rosh's Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav about giving the Dalad Minim to the child. And he says, oh, what about the Rosh's question, isn't a kinyan lizman considered she'ela? You see from the Gemara, not that way. You see from the Gemara by Acharecha that a temporary kinyan is not comparable to she'ela. So too, when it comes to Matana Almanas Lahachzir, even if you were to assume that it's a temporary kinyan, it's a kinyan lizman, it's better than she'ela. It's not going to be comparable to she'ela. That's the Ktzois Raya. A Beferish Gemara.
How does the Rosh
learn the Acharecha? Oh, excellent question. So how does the Rosh learn the Acharecha? So obviously the Rosh is going to have a different way to understand a Gemara. And lo and behold, the Rosh understands the Gemara and Bava Basra differently. In source 9, the Rosh in his Psakim, in Maseches Bava Basra, quoting this Gemara, the Rosh says what the Gemara means to say when the Gemara says that when by a matana of Acharecha, everyone agrees that you're going to be yotze with Dalad Minim. When I give the esrog as a matana to Avi, and I say, Avi, it's going to go to you, and then after you, it's going to go automatically to Alan. Says the Rosh, the Gemara doesn't really mean a kinyan lizman. Why? Because why am I giving Avi the esrog? Why am I giving Avi the esrog? Because I want him to be able to be yotze the mitzvah of Dalad Minim. So obviously, says the Rosh, my intention is that I want to give it to him however it's going to halachically work. Even though I say you and then after you to Alan, what I really mean to say is I want to give it to you as a matana gemura. I want it to be completely yours. And after you, you should give it to Alan. And then Alan's going to be the owner. In other words, says the Rosh, even though the Gemara calls it Acharecha, but since my intention is that I really want to give it to Avi in a way that's going to halachically work, so what I must mean is really a matana almanas lahachzir. In this case, it's not a matana lahachzir, it's a matana almanas that you give it to Alan. So the Gemara doesn't really mean kinyan lizman, says the Rosh. It means kinyan gamor, just like matana almanas lahachzir is a kinyan gamor. My matan avos lahachzer, I'm giving it to Avi on condition that he gives it back to me. Here, I'm giving it to Avi on condition that he gives it to Alan afterwards. But the Gemara doesn't really mean a temporary kinyan. It means a full-fledged kinyan. Whoa. And says the Rush, based on this idea, he has a tremendous chiddush, and this is very, very relevant halacha lemaisa in other areas of halacha. Again, what the Rush just said is, even though I formulated the kinyan as acharecha, even though I formulated it as a temporary kinyan, that I said it should go to Avi and then automatically go to Alan, and that's only a temporary kinyan, and the Rush thinks that's insufficient when it comes to Dalamina. But since I want Avi to be yotze the mitzvah, we say what he really meant to do, what I really meant to do, was I meant to give it to him as a matana, gemura, almanas, on condition that he gives it to Alan. Says the Rush, in other areas of halacha, where you give something to someone and you want the person to be able to use it in a halachically sound fashion, we assume that you intend to give it over in whichever way is necessary al pi halacha. What do I mean? What's a good example? Says the Rush. Let's say there is a family heirloom, a nice fancy diamond ring, and you have a child who is getting married. And you want him to be able to use the diamond ring. Okay, we're not going to use that for the chuppah. But let's say, for whatever reason, which came up in the Daf Yomi recently, right? Not to use that. So the, right? Yeah. So the, but there's some nice ring that you want to be able to use for the under the chuppah. But you don't trust your son to, or your daughter-in-law to keep the ring. So you want to give it to them for the chuppah, for the day of the wedding, and then they should give it back to you. What's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? It doesn't belong to them, right? It's clear in the Gemaras in Kiddushin, the first parak, so many Gemaras assume that the chassan, the mekadesh, the baal, has to own the money, unless you do arev or eved kenayni, all those fancy Gemaras. Fundamentally, the baal has to own the money, the kesef, that he gives the isha, right? So over here, if it's just a she'ela, if you're lending it to your son so that he can give it to the kala, and then she's going to give it back to you, isn't that halachically problematic? So let's say you have a family heirloom that you want to give to the chassan. Should that work? Or let's say bidyeved, you did it, and now you're like, oh no, I learned Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Yomi is up to Kiddushin, and I realize that the chassan needs to own the ring, and you know, she'ela is not considered ownership in halacha, so what do I do? Did I mess up the entire chassana? So says the Rush, no. Not so bad. Why? Because since when you gave your son the ring, the family heirloom, you wanted him to be able to use it to be mekadesh the isha, your intention was that he should have as much ownership as necessary, in order to be able to affect the kiddushin. So even though you used the lashon of she'ela, even though you said, I'm lending this to you, which would indicate that it's only a she'ela, and that would be insufficient for kiddushin. Nevertheless, since it's clear in context that you want him to have enough ownership that's necessary in order to be able to make mekadesh the isha, says the Rush, he thinks that's good for kiddushin. And therefore, in that case, there are no questions, that would be good. That's the famous shaila of tabas shu'ula, the borrowed ring, that the Rush thinks... So that's an excellent question. So if you take a look, so that's if you give the isha a matana al manas lahachzir. Here you're giving the chassan the matana lahachzir.
But what if you give it with the intention that you want to get married?
I'm sorry.
What if you give it with the intention to the isha that you want to get?
That's
married?
What you're doing.
That's what you're doing by matana lahachzir. You're giving it to matana, but the Gemara says it doesn't work for whatever reason, which we're not going to get into. The Gemara says. Tosfos thinks that it's a gzeira midrabanan because it looks and smells like kinyan chalipin, so therefore Chazal said you can't give the isha matanas lahachzir. But if you're giving the chassan the matanas lahachzir, and then he's giving the isha the matanas, says the Rush, that would be good. Why is that not good? He's not giving it to the isha as a matanas lahachzir, he has it as a matanas lahachzir.
Otherwise he's not able to give it back.
So eventually, but if the whole thing is Xer Midarabban, if you assume like Tosis, the whole thing is Xer Midarabban, it only looks like Chalipin, so it only looks like Chalipin for the Chassan, it doesn't look like Chalipin for the Isha, he's not going to have to, she didn't accept the condition necessarily. Okay, it's questionable, but Lamaisa, that's what the Rush says. And this Rush is not only relevant for Acharecha and Dalad Minim or Tabashula, it's also relevant to the Poskim Kotis on Seder night. How is this going to be relevant Seder night. So there's a big, big discussion in the postgame.
Exactly.
We know that there is shalachem. There's a need to own the dalaminim to be yotze at least on the first day of Sukkot. What about by matzah? So there's a gemara maseches psachim, a gemara maseches sukkah, which seems to indicate that just like by dalad minim, you need ownership. It needs to be lachem. So too by matzah, it needs to be lachem. So let's say you're making a big seder. You have your family. You have some family friends over. And you're the one who bought the shmur matzah. So technically speaking, you're the owner. So the poskim discussed, do you have to be makne the matzah, preferably maybe before Yom Tov or b'dieved on Yom Tov, to all of your guests, maybe including your grown children, in order for them to be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah, assuming that you need to own the matzah? This is a big, big discussion in the postgim. So many assume that if you do, in fact, need to own the matzah, maybe we can rely on this rush and say that even if you don't say explicitly to your guests, please pick up the matzah and have in mind that you're acquiring the matzah to be completely yours. You just place it in front of the guests and they eventually pick it up, even though they don't have das to be kona it. Nevertheless, if some kinyan takes place and I want my guests to be able to be yotze their mitzvah. I'm not inviting them to trip them up. I'm not inviting them so that they're not going to be yotze. I want everyone to be yotze their mitzvah, all the mitzvahs of the Seder night. So some posts can invoke this rush as, if I clearly want everyone to be yotze, it's called kinyan hamoil. I want them to acquire through whatever kinyan is necessary in order for them to be yotze their mitzvah. So just like the Rush said this when it comes to acharecha, that we really treat it as a matana almanas lahachzir, a kinyan la'olam, not a kinyan lizman for dalaminim. And for tabashu'ula, we don't treat it as a borrowed ring. We treat it as an owned ring, a matana almanas lahachzir, which is going to be sufficient in that case. So too, when it comes to matzah and maybe other areas of halacha as well, we should treat it as a kinyan gamor, even if it wasn't necessarily articulated that way.
It's very clear that they didn't intend it that way.
If it's very clear.
Yeah, like for example, I think there people bring up a case of like for a pigeon event, right? Like so sometimes the coins are coming from, you know, a grandparent or something and they assume they're getting it back and they actually, you know, ask for it back afterwards. Like so like that, I mean, the Rush would say that it was intended in the way that would effectuate the pigeon, but if they come back and ask for it back, I mean, the matzah is going to be eaten, but like, I mean, in the case of the pigeon.
But that's fine. Matan almas lahachzir works for pigeon aben. The Gemara says matan aben is on the list of the things that matan almas lahachzir works. So as long as it was formulated as a matan almas lahachzir, you're giving it to the kohen on condition that he gives it back, right? So the Gemara says explicitly that would work. So you give it to the Kohen, you say, Kohen, you say, Yomi, you know, I can't really afford to give up these silver coins to you. I'm giving this to you, but I really want you to give it back to me. I'm giving it to you on Almanas Lahachzir. So you'd have to give it back to me. And it would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pinyan Ben. That was on the list of the Gemara, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin.
Take back the kid for a little while.
Yeah.
Is it a similar concept to, like, if someone's presumed to have kavana about something but doesn't have specific kavana, we kind of say,
it's a similar idea that we always take context and motivation into account to a certain extent. So just like when it comes to kinyanim, some poskim, the Chai Adam has this, that even though you need kavana for kriyashma, let's say the person didn't really have kavana, but they're davening, they're at minyan, they're davening with in front of a sitter. So since the, you know, we can maybe take the context into account and say, no, he had kavana. But that's a bigger chiddush.
We didn't have a mind to be motzi.
Right.
You know, we assume, you know.
Correct. So it's a very similar idea. Assumed kavana. Okay. Shkoyach ever.